Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good to see all of you. Please turn to your Bibles to the 119th Psalm. Psalm 119. As most of you know, that's the longest chapter in all of the Bible. It is a psalm that praises the Word of God and gives wishes, desires, prayers, and meditations on that Word of God so that we might have a better appreciation for it. It is an acrostic psalm, which means that rather than rhyming like much of our poetry does, although there is free verse in English as well, it is poetry that each line begins with a particular verse in the Hebrew alphabet. That's why in your Bibles it is divided into 22 different stanzas, each one of them with a line that begins with that letter in the Hebrew alphabet. For example, in chapter 1, the Aleph stanza. If we were to look at it in a Hebrew Bible, every line there at the beginning of that Aleph stanza, because it goes from right to left rather than left to right like English does, you'd see all along that right-hand column, you would find the letter Aleph beginning each of those lines. Same thing with Beit, with Gimel, Dalet, all the way through the Psalm. So there is a great deal of artistry that is involved in this, besides wonderful inspiration and wonderful information about the Word of God and the way that it needs to be sought and perceived by us. I'd like us to look at a few lessons from Psalm 119 today. There are many that we could draw. We could spend a year on the 119th Psalm with profit, being able to study the things that it itself is teaching about the Word of God. But I just want to concentrate on three lessons that certainly ought to be the heart's desire and the prayer for every child of God as we try to live the life that we are supposed to live here in this life. And also to be able to look and see in other passages in the 119th Psalm and a few others, things that might be able to help us have things to think about and meditate as we go throughout our week. Justin and myself are very fortunate to be able to have time that allows us to meditate on the words of the Word of God. That's one of the things that I think is so detrimental to the society in which we live, is we have so many things to do in 21st century America. It occupies our minds with so many different things. Sometimes it's hard to think about God. Sometimes it's hard to think about His Word. We may be able to know enough about God's Word that we can fill in a lesson book. We may be able to know enough about God's Word that we can memorize a few passages to be able to teach. But to be able to think on the Word of God, to be able to meditate on it, to be able to concentrate on it at times of leisure, we often don't have or take time to do that. And it's really important that as children of God, we are able to look at God's Word in such a way and make time to be able to have it in our hearts and in our lives and to concentrate on the things I want to talk about this morning. The first of these desires or prayers that I think Christians need to have is the one that we find in the Dalet stanza in verse 27 of Psalm 119. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. A prayer for understanding of the Word of God. Now we know part of that certainly comes with our study of the Word of God. And we emphasize that to a large extent in our sermons, in our Bible classes, the importance of studying the Word of God. But understanding it, truly allowing it to become a part of us, truly allowing it to become something that we digest, is something that is very, very important. We saw this morning in our class in the book of Revelation, as we talked about in Revelation, the 10th chapter, and we talked about Ezekiel, the 2nd and 3rd chapters, how that both Ezekiel and John were told to eat a book, eat a scroll, and allow it to be something that, even though it became sweet in their mouth, it became bitter. And here, the idea about eating that scroll is so that it becomes part of you. Just like the food that we eat is transformed by our bodies into nutrition that is able to build new cells in our body to allow our body to renew itself over the course of time. That's exactly what the Word of God needs to be to us as we learn to understand it better, to be able to know what God says, but to be able to understand not only what He says, but what He means by the Word of God. Later on in the same chapter of the book of the book of Psalms, it says in verse 34, "Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart." We need to pray for understanding, and we need to strive for understanding. Again, not just read the Word of God, but to think about the Word of God, to allow it to be something that we truly study. You know, sometimes when we think of study, we think about it just involving the reading and the accumulation of facts. What is important for us is to not only do that, that is important, it is essential for us to do that if we're going to truly understand. But you know, we have all known people all of our lives who, when it came to book learning, they knew facts. When it came to being able to pound sand down a rat hole, they had no understanding. They were educated fools because they might be able to give you an answer when asked, but they just didn't know really how to put the information together very well. We can become educated fools when it comes to the Word of God unless we give it thought, unless we meditate, unless we pray to the Lord to give us understanding about what the Word of God says, what it means, and what we need to do in terms of fulfilling what God wants for us in our lives. In the 73rd verse of Psalm 119, notice it says, "Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments." Look over in the same chapter in verse 125. Again, we see the same idea. "I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies." In verse 144, it says, "Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live." And finally, in verse 169 of the very same chapter, we see this as a persistent theme in this chapter, where it says, "Let me cry, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word." Have we ever in our lives prayed to understand the Word of God? We need to. We need to pray not only that we have time to read it, and we need to do that. And we need to not only have prayers that we might be able to have passages committed to memory so that we might be able to use them in teaching other people. But do you know it takes even a step further to know what God is trying to convey to us, not just by a passage of Scripture here and there, but to try to let us understand what He means in a given context. What He means over the course of the message that He is revealing to us in the mystery that is the Word of God. What has been concealed and now has been revealed to the saints. Our prayer needs to be, "Lord, give us understanding." Do you remember over later on in the same chapter, there we see in the stanza that begins in verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I know we hear the psalmist say that and we think, oh, that's a great thing. Do you love God's law? It needs to be something that is our passion. And it needs to be the kind of thing that we want to read. I remember there was a book that back when Marianne and I first married that we got involved in a series that was written by Mary Stewart that was a fiction series, a historical fiction series based on not the life of King Arthur, but the life of Merlin. And we read The Crystal Cave and The Hollow Hills. And I think by the time The Last Enchantment, the third of the trilogy, came out, Marianne read it, but I'd lost interest. But I can remember being so interested in that series. And when I'd get a chance, I'd have it in the car with me. And when I'd come to a red light, I'd pick it up and read and see if I could get a sentence or two in and put it back down. There was a book called Trinity one time, written by Leon Uris, about the troubles in Ireland over the last century. And I can remember having the same attitude about it. I'd pick it up off of the passenger seat and read it when I sat at a red light. I'm ashamed to say I've never done that about the Word of God. But it needs to be something that we love. It needs to be something that we have that kind of passion for. It needs to be that kind of thing that we not only think about what it says, but think about what it means and how that needs to apply to the life that I live. You see why our prayers need to be such, as we see here in the 119th Psalm in verse 27, make me to understand your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. Lord, let me understand. And the more I understand, the more it'll be something that becomes my passion. The more it'll become something that I think about in my spare time, that I want to seek out in my spare time. People rarely have much of a passion for things that they don't know much about. You know, there are some things that I know something about that would bore you silly if I talked about them very long. There are some subjects that I've had the opportunity to study just through my reading. There's some subjects that I've had the opportunity in the education that I pursued to be able to study. There's opportunities that I've had to study in the Word of God that have given me things that sometimes when I talk to people, I can tell right within the first minute that I've lost them. But you can do that with me too. You know, I know how a computer turns on because there is a power switch. I know that there is, it's called a mouse. I don't have any idea why. But you move that around and it takes this little arrow and moves it to what you want to do and you can click it. Now I'm not sure about that back click thing, but that one on the left, I know how to make that click to be able to get and check my email. I know how to do that. I know even how on some things to be able to look up a particular subject on a computer, but I don't know beans about computers. Now if you got to talking about your job that you have as an IT tech in your job, an IT tech, I guess that's redundant. But anyway, if you knew about all of that stuff and you started talking about it, you would notice, as nice as I try to be, with a smile on my face, my eyes would eventually glaze over. And what that meant was that I was almost asleep. Your subject was not one that I knew enough about to be able to keep me engaged, and as polite as I tried to be, I wouldn't really stay interested in it. I think one of the reasons that some people who call themselves Christians can't stay that interested in God's Word is because they don't know enough about it. They haven't read enough about it. They haven't thought enough about it. They haven't meditated enough on it. They haven't tried to teach other people with it. So make me to understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. Let that be our prayer today, that the Lord will help our understanding of what He is trying to convey to us in His Word. Another desire or prayer that we see in the 119th Psalm is in verse 35. Make me to walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Not only should we pray to understand the Word of God better, but we should pray that we might be able to walk in the path of His commandments better. Not only understand what God says, but to do what God says. Over again in the main stanza in your Bible, notice it talks about, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. The next couple of verses talk about the importance of understanding. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. But notice how what understanding leads to. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. Do you see the importance of what we're talking about here? The importance of making sure that God's word is not just something that we know, not just something that we strive to understand, but strive to do. And understanding it and doing it go hand in hand. Look at verse 34, just before the verse that we read in terms of this desire. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. You see how understanding and obedience go together? Lord, help me to understand what I read. Help me to understand it to such an extent that I love it. Help me to understand it to such an extent that I do it, that I practice it in the things that I do and in the things that I say and in the way that I live. Please, Lord, let me be someone who follows your way and recognizes that everything that I do is important. In verse 103 of Psalm 119, it says, how sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Do we really view it as something that is essential for us to do? If you go out in the dark, it's probably best to have some kind of flashlight or some kind of lantern to be able to help you so you don't step in some kind of hole. It's probably best if you're going, if you are traveling over a time when the sun's gone down, that you have some kind of flashlight in your car. Oh, I remember one situation where I was, I'd taken one of my children to, a wedding. It was a wedding that I was going to do, and I was going to stop and see my brother who lived just a little further down the road. That time I had a pickup truck. It was a little Isuzu truck. I don't know if you remember Isuzu. The Japanese sent them for a while, and they were so bad they quit sending them. But I had one, and it was red. And for some reason, people can't see a red Isuzu truck because that car got hit more than any car I have ever had. Wasn't my fault, but they would hit it. And one girl from church hit it on the driver's side so much so that you couldn't open the driver's side door. Now, she paid for it, but in those days, just because you got a check from the insurance company didn't mean that you applied it toward fixing the car. You ever been in a situation like that? Where you were broke as a convict. And therefore, when you got money from any particular source, you used it to eat rather than to fix your car. So I got pretty used to getting in that right side of the pickup, sliding right over there and being able to drive. Work fine. Who needs two doors in a truck? Took my youngest daughter with me to a wedding because she was very fond of the bride and was going to take her on to her cousin's house later that night while I let them stay there for a few days while I had some business to take care of. Someone in my family besides myself thought it was a great idea, and I agreed to it. During the wedding, they kept loading this child up with cake and candy and cookies. And she had taken all kinds of stuff, and that the cab of the pickup was full of all kinds of toys, of pillows, of dolls, of everything. It was winter. We were almost to Birmingham, where my brother lived. And all of a sudden, my youngest daughter woke up and said, "Daddy, I'm sick." And I knew I was in a mess. Because she was sitting here, and my way to get out of the car was through that door. There, not only did I not have a flashlight, I did not have I'd let the bulb blow out in the car. So here I am on a highway in the dark, knowing that there is body fluids I do not want to go through, covering every blanket, covering every doll, covering every stuffed toy. You'd have loved to have seen this. I crawled out the window. I'll tell you, I had to grease both sides to get out of there, but I was able to do it. Got out of there, got her out, realized then I didn't have a flashlight, so we had to go and stand behind the tail light in cold weather and try to somehow get those nasty clothes off of that child. She finally, as she was shaking, she said, "Could we just go to my cousin's house?" I said, "Excellent idea." So I loaded her back up in the nasty truck, and we headed for the rest of the way. And I crawled back in the window, too. You kind of need a light sometimes. And I was foolish not to have one. So I carry a flashlight with me now. God's Word is our flashlight. It gets us through those situations when we find ourselves in the dark, when we find ourselves with no way to go but the bad way, when we find ourselves in a situation to where we need lamp to our feet and light to our pathway. It's what provides us with a means by which we can understand and which we can do what He tells us to do. You need God's Word. You need to know what He says. You need to understand what He says. But you know, there is no substitute for doing what He tells us to do. And unless we have that Word of God committed to our memory, unless we have that Word of God as our constant companion, as our iron rations to be able to get us through the difficulty and the struggles of life, we're just not going to be able to make it. So our prayer needs to be, just as we pray for understanding, we need to pray that the Lord will make us walk in the path of His commandments because we delight in it. In the 135th Psalm, there's one more of these prayers. There's one more of these desires. And he says, "Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes." To make your face shine upon you carries with it the idea of being able to look upon the face of God as if that were possible, and to be able to recognize God's pleasure with you. My dad had a very expressive face. He passed away about 7 years ago, but his face was very, very expressive. And it was like the old saw about a Scotsman. There's no possibility of mistaking a Scotsman with a grievance and a sunshiny day. There was no possibility of noticing the difference between my dad when he was pleased with you, when you saw that easy smile that came to his face, when he was proud of you, and that frightening look on his face when you knew that you had disobeyed his will. Imagine what that's going to be like one day for the Lord to be able to look upon us and allow his face to shine upon us. There's a sense in which as we live our lives, we can take comfort in the fact that his face shines upon us as we not only understand his will and as we not only do his will, but as we commune with him by doing both of those things, and then being able to learn his statutes by understanding that pleases God and motivates us to even do more to try to please him. In the 80th Psalm, we see it emphasizes this idea about God's pleasure with our actions. Isn't it amazing to think that God even takes notice of the things that we puny little human beings do? Amid the trials which I meet, amid the thorns that pierce my feet, one thought remains supremely sweet. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. What need I fear when thou art near? Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. You remember that song we used to sing? The Lord either allows his face to shine upon us or turns his face away from us because of our behavior. We live lives of cosmic significance. It matters to God. It matters to the universe what I choose to do in this life. In the 80th Psalm, notice it says in verse 3, O God, restore us and cause your face to shine upon us, and we'll be saved. In verse 7, O God of hosts, restore us and cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. In verse 19 of the same chapter, O Lord God of hosts, restore us, cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. You see the chorus in that particular psalm? Please, Lord, be pleased with me. It's not going to happen without us having an understanding of his way. It's not going to happen without us making our best effort to try to obey what he would have us to do. It's not going to happen unless we strive and pray for his good pleasure because of what we do to show our love and loyalty to him. Can those three things be our prayers today? Lord, help me to understand. Lord, help me to obey. And Lord, let your face shine upon me. A lot of other lessons we could draw from Psalm 119. But that's enough for now. And I think it's enough to occupy our minds and our hearts and our week as we meditate on the Word of God. Let us all determine that we're going to pray that those things will be what we seek, and ultimately to be able to see God's face as it tells us we can do in the end of the book of Revelation, so that in seeing His face, we'll be able to have it shine upon us because He's pleased with what we've done, rather than turning His face away from us so that we'll be rejected by Him forever. Think about these things, and if we can help anyone in their obedience to the gospel this morning, we invite you to come while we stand and sing the song Selected.